to another episode of Rebel City Podcast. I don't know, was it 134?
Episode 130, who knows?
Okay, I think it's 134, maybe 135.
Maybe. Been a few weeks, we've had COVID.
Yeah.
I don't think there's really much more to say about it at this point because we've all had it like multiple times now. We all know it was like a bad cold for a few days and I'm still a bit, ugh, but
I'm finding that the worst part about this time or this, like catching COVID has been the fucking absolute inability to think, like brain fog and fatigue. Mm. More than the, I mean, the cold symptoms and the, you know, it's like, you know, you rest up, it goes away. But I'm like, what's that? Like trying to remember shit. It's been a fucking challenge.
The physical exhaustion has definitely been something that me, Stacey and the brain all experienced. We had first week was Stacey, and then the Wayne caught it the day before Stacey got clear, and then I caught it the day before Alex got clear. So we had like a 3-week spell in the house where it's just been everywhere. Thankfully for the week that I caught it, everybody else has just had it, so I could just potter about the house and do whatever the fuck I wanted anyway, because it was a good idea, give them it again a week later, you know what I mean? Like, so that was a nice wee change of pace, but other than that, it was unpleasant, and mostly because I think we were just about to start sort of wrapping up a wee bit here, and I think in the coming weeks, let's get to the point where we're bashing out every week now and see how we go, because I think we've pussyfooted about the edges here a bit, and I'm a bit like, we need to move. It's kind of like shit or get off the pot time, I think, in that respect. So hopefully for this week on, we'll see a wee bit more of that consistency that we've been promising for a while now.
talking about
and kind of like hoping for. I think obviously for where we left off a couple of weeks ago now, one of the big things we were talking about was the SNP leadership stroke sort of first minister election. Kind of went as we expected it to go. I think, you know, that 11% of the SNP voters voted for the Ash Regan nutter was probably quite worrying, considering our main policy was like a fucking independence thermometer in George Square to gauge when or no we're ready. Aye, exactly. Like, just absolutely fucking swivel-eyed lunatic bullshit. That 11% of the biggest political party in the country thought that she was the one is probably more worrying to me than the 42% odds that thought that Kate Forbes was the one. Because it was probably a lot closer than, you know, a lot of people in the Yusuf campaign would have liked. And again, probably shows that the SNP is significantly more conservative, small c, than probably quite a lot of people would like to admit to. She's done all right since it, you know. She's done the whole, I won't run again after this and blah, blah, blah. And then she's up with a national newspaper article every week, you know what I mean? Like, so
who's this?
Kate Forbes. She's now writing a weekly column for the National.
Oh, really?
And to be honest with you, she's been extremely complimentary, Yousaf, so far, because he's been doing the grand tour of Scotland and, you know, making sure he gets to sort of every nook and cranny of the country to highlight good tech organisations and, you know, various other things that Scotland can sort of hang its hat on, which I think is quite a good move, and clearly so does she. So she's been quite conciliatory, although she did refuse a cabinet position for rural affairs, because it was seen as a downgrade for finance minister, which in terms of prestige it probably is, but in terms of her inert knowledge of the sort of Highlands and Islands where she's from, I think it probably is an offer that made a level of sense. And, you know, I don't think she has a lot of legs to stand on about how, you know, she was offered that when she stood at the debates going, you know, I would probably have him in my cabinet, but it wouldn't be at Hill. So, I mean, she basically signposted that she would almost certainly do the same thing to Yousaf had she won. So I think it, all in all, it's kind of panned out quite fairly, kind of roughly as we expected. Couple of shocks.
Shocks in the numbers, but no shock in who actually won the race. I'm quite uninspired, but by like Hamza. But I think like when you look at what was on offer,
yeah,
he's pretty much the only thing that you could have fucking voted for.
I think so as well. I mean, as I say, I'm not a mad fan of his track record at this point across the various departments, and we've covered that in, you know, recent episodes, and we'll not tread all ground. But at this point, he's started out all right. Obviously, there is the sort of spectre, shall we say, of the Murrow arrest and interrogation mm-hmm. about the finances of the party. I think, you know, Yousaf said the first thing I did was speak to the party lawyers and say the fuck's happening here. So he seems to have been at least in the loop as quickly as possible. He obviously at this point, especially now that he's First Minister, cannot in any way, shape or form, you know, interject in it whatsoever. He needs to just stay out it until such times as there's some sort of result. I think looking at the raid, did you see the footage?
I did.
It was like they were digging up the fucking West Back Garden, man.
It was like a fucking serial killers thing, mate. I mean, it felt it felt over the top. But see, at the same time, in the same breath, like, I don't know what these things generally look like.
A
like,
financial fraud case, to me, would not normally require, you know, 10 to 15, you know, uniformed police officers. The picture of the guy in the back garden holding the secateurs and going as if... I want to know what that conversation was. There's a picture of one of the officers who was doing the search, holding like a pair of garden secateurs, you know, for clipping roses back. And he was like pointing them at a colleague or whatever, as if to be like, he was asking some sort of question. And I was just like, I wonder what the fuck question you could possibly be asking here.
Should have captioned it or something. There was like fucking Zoom footage. It's Peter Murrell, isn't it?
Yeah.
And they're like, he keeps on looking at the back garden and all that. And you're like, what do they think's happened here? Is this going to be like Brookside? They hoping they fucking lift the patio?
I mean, they had to deny that they dug up the back garden because people were pure. They're digging up the back garden and like, no, we didn't. And they didn't. You know what I mean? But
I mean, it kind of answers the question. I said, or I at least thought it. Like,
you did.
But I said, like, why is there... In my mind, when she handed in her resignation, I was thinking, oh, okay, what's about to come out?
Yeah.
And it took a while, but it seems that, I mean, it's all happened after the leadership race, which...
I mean, this story has been going on for a while. And again, it's one of those kind of like, oh, Christ, the worst person you know was right kind of moment about, I think a lot of the Alba style nutters were very like, oh, where's the party money, Peter? You know, for quite a while now.
Mm-hmm.
So again, yeah. They might have had a point. I still think they're nutters, but they might have had a point. You know what I mean? Aye. So you need to concede that. I did laugh on the day of the arrests that the police were obviously in SNP HQ and a couple of the Alba types were like wandering by, you know, the last of Shake and I think it was it McAlpine or whatever it was, the other one. And yeah, it just happened to be wandering by. No accidentally looking to bump into anybody for the press or, you know, accidentally end up getting, you know, quotes against the SNP or anything like that. And I did see Salmon get one in as well where he was going to a meeting where, yeah, the BBC were there standing at the door to wherever it was he was going, just coincidentally waiting on him showing up to be like, what's the script, Alex? And he's like, oh, I'm so disappointed in what the party's become and blah, blah, blah. Fuck up.
Aye.
Like, take your 0.4% of the population and go and fuck off.
Aye,
you know what I mean? Like,
I've got no interest in what he's got.
No.
You know what I mean? The it seemed to be like a wee day of celebration for unionists, and it's like...
Yeah.
I mean, it's no great, is it? I mean, it's no fantastic. Like, we've lost... And I mean we as in, like, the independence movement. We've lost the figurehead. We've lost the person that's really been the driving force of it since 2014. And then for this sort of smear to come out, it does kind of... I'm a wee bit sort of like, fuck, man, can we just not do this shit? Like, can we just not have this shit going on?
I think it's probably drawn more attention for me to how much of a disservice having that one focal point and one sort of person as the head of what should be a nationwide movement. And there are points where they say, right, it's time to now mobilise a new yes convention and blah, blah, blah. I don't think that it is just yet, personally, because you cannot have a nationwide grassroots movement and nothing to campaign for. And right now, there is nothing to campaign for. Like, there is no impetus that will drive the numbers that a mass movement like the Yes did during the last referendum. And I think that's partly why the SNP were always elections, 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 mandates, 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 because it kept their base mobilised and engaged. Now, a just general consensus, what is that going to get us when there is nothing at the moment to fight for? You know what I mean? Like, if there was a Section 30 or a meaningful way for Scotland to actually exert its sort of democratic will then I would be all for, like, round everybody, like, let's get the band together. But right here, right now, it's just likely to become a forum for grievances and arguments, and that's pretty much what we see just now in the kind of, like, wider Yes movement, is people all pointing fingers at each other going, no, you're the prick, no, you're the prick, no, you're the, you know what I mean? Like, the notion that they're all going to get together in peacetime and actually be able to get on with each other in a cohesive manner is frankly laughable to me, considering how disparate a lot of these individual groups are. You know, when the starter pistol goes next time out, if it does anytime soon, which I don't think it will, then I, like, get everybody rounded up. But right now, it's just an opportunity to sit and argue with each other, and we're already doing that. So why formalise it?
Twitter's already taking care of that for us. He was released without charge, wasn't he? So far, yeah. Right, so at this current point in time, he's innocent, I mean...
Oh, well, everybody's innocent until proven guilty, although... That might change when we get to, like, Trump later on.
Aye, well, of course.
Technically speaking, everybody's innocent until proven guilty. There seems to have been a bit of a question around motorhome, Winnebago type thing.
Like, gave a loan to the SNP to buy, like,
he's been sitting parked outside his Moz house that Nicola Sturgeon the day has said was intended to be, like, a kind of battle bus for elections and stuff like that for the SNP. Well, I mean, that's kind of what they called them into, you know what I mean? Like, the battle, get on the bus, and when you're out campaigning, that's kind of what they're referred to.
Right, okay.
Although they're usually actual buses and no, like, caravans.
Bet you a shite campaign bus, wouldn't it?
It's kind of probably like a visual metaphor for, like, just how parochial Scottish politics can actually be at times, is that, you know, Boris has got a big red bus with 350 million on the back of it, and we've got a caravan that sits outside somebody's Moz house. You know what I mean? Like the portable library or whatever, you know what I mean?
Classic Scotland.
Aye, that's exactly what I got the image of when they were like, it's a battle bus. I don't think that's the same ring as it does when you're in America and, like, Joe Biden's on, like, a two-decker, like, big silver Greyhound bus with, like, 50 members of staff on it, all with phones to their ear 24/7.
Shows you the difference in politics, but doesn't it? Their leaders jumping about in a fucking 747 that's got the best pilot in the world and charging, ours is driving the fuck, like you said, a Winnebago. We see with Scottish politics right now, I'm kind of sick of it, to be honest. Like, it's like the day, I think I was reading that Hamza's trying to take the British government to court about trying to write laws and stuff, and it is a bit like, what is the actual point in Holyrood at this point? Like, if it's so fucking hamstrung, you know what I mean? And do we even have the ability to write stuff into law? I'm pretty sure we do.
I mean, we are a parliament, or I think that is technically correct. It might be like an assembly or something like that, I'm not sure. There are, like, gradients. It is a Scottish parliament, and they write laws all the time. This one is the gender recognition reform bill that has been challenged because the Tories struck it down on the basis of culture war bullshit.
I was going to say, it's a political powder keg, isn't it, really?
It's really about that divide and conquer that we talk about for them all the time, because that's all they've got left. They don't have any legitimate policies, or they would need to fall back on this bullshit. they said it was today with the Equality Act, which they're also in the process of trying to change at Westminster. So, you know, take that what you will. It's not of that. Which part of the Equality Act did it breach? Westminster? Fuck you. That was pretty much the answer. Can you come up here and explain to us which part of the UK's Equality Act this legislation breached that made you step in and veto it? And it was, the answer was basically, go fuck yourself, from both the Scottish Secretary and the person in charge of, like, UK-wide equalities, Bannadoc or whatever her name is. Uh-huh. So it was a political move. Whether going into the courts will make any difference or no, because you would imagine that the UK court system probably
would back the UK
would
government.
Probably, yeah, hold UK law ahead of, I don't know, especially with Scots law being its own sort of unique thing and always having been. So it depends on, I suppose, where that challenge goes, where it lands, and how it's interpreted. I've got no idea. I would only be, like, speculating. I would hope that any law that is meant to enshrine human dignity in world laws should be, you know, able to pass. But again, that is not the climate we live in right now.
Aye.
You know what I mean? So we'll just need to wait and see. Hope for the best.
Aye, we never know. I mean, there was a, going back to the sort of SNP, and the, was it 60 grand? Was
this 600?
600 grand, right.
Well, that was the figure I heard anyway.
Right, aye. So 600 grand. I mean, there was a bit of a reaction of like, well, look at all the money that the Tories have, you know, like,
aye, what about
skimmed off the top. And I mean, people are like 250 million quid and like the scales are way bigger. I'm not really that interested in that. See, if there has been some sort of theft that's happened, I think it should just fucking...
Absolutely. You
know, justice should be like fucking served. Really.
And as much as I kind of almost naively said, no, I don't think so. And it's ironic that I did say, I think Sturgeon looked at just an Arden and went, oof, I'm having some of that. Like last week, Nicola, one of the things Nicola Sturgeon said was, I looked at Jacinta Ardern and went, oof, I'm having some of that. So I was like, right, well, at least there was like partially right in that one. But at the same time, as you said, you know, what's coming and a resignation and, you know, the leadership election being nice and neatly tucked out the way with the former Justice Secretary taking charge. Uh-huh. It does look dodgy as fuck.
Uh-huh.
It looks really fucking dodgy. Like, and I hope that I'm wrong and hope that, you know, the speculation's wrong, because I would hate to see somebody like Nicola Sturgeon's career tainted by this. And there is also, you know, the potential that not everybody knows what their spouse is up to all the time. So maybe if there has been any impropriety, maybe she didn't know. She's going to claim she didn't know either way.
Of course.
Or do the smart thing and just refuse to make any sort of comment that goes against a husband and wife. You know, I don't think you're legally obliged to like comment or testify against a spouse, I'm pretty sure. But for her own sort of point of view, she's come out, she's spoke to the press at the front door saying, like, guys, you know, my neighbours, give them a break. She's still approaching this with a very sort of humanistic sort of a point of view. And I would assume that for her own image that she would continue to do that. But as I say, right now, it looks dodgy as fuck.
Mm.
Really fucking dodgy. And I wasn't disappointed with that, because I had genuinely been like, no, let's park my cynicism for once. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
And what I got for it was, waking up to...
confirmation.
that was really a silly thing to do. It's going to be a wait and see. I've not heard any further developments since. I've not heard any mere rumours or anything, you know, since all the sort of couple of days. And as I say, those couple of days looked just ridiculously over the top. Now, you know, if there's been financial crime committed, get the computers, uh-huh, get the laptops. Why is there a three-day operation at somebody's fucking three-bedroom
house? Like a forensic tent, you know, in the front garden and stuff like that?
I think there was a deliberate choice to make the optics as negative as possible. But again, that's my personal opinion. I don't have anything evidentiary to base that on, other than this looks and feels like fucking overkill.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean?
I mean, I know we're talking about the whataboutery there. What I would say is that rather than being sort of, well, you know, look at what they've done and why is this, I would rather look at it more like I'm happy at the fact that it's getting looked into very,
absolutely,
like, vigorously, you know, yeah, what I mean? And I think that the UK government should have everything that they do looked at the exact same fucking way.
Oh, absolutely. And I think this is one of the things that, as we, like, transition towards some of the Trump chat we're seeing in America, is that the politicised sort of judiciary across the country is always something that I think has been seen as quite a negative, because Trump with the Supreme Court loaded the Supreme Court full of his own fucking bombs and messed with abortion laws and messed with whatever else it is. And, you know, these guys are going to sit there, some of them for 40, 50 years. They deliberately picked people who were in their 30s and 40s all across the country, mm-hmm, because they wanted to fill the judiciary all up and down America with people who would be there for 30, 40, 50 years. That was a deliberate choice on his part. But now we're seeing, like, in New York, in Georgia, and whatever else it is, you know, prosecutory offices that are handled by Democrats now looking at them. Now, in the UK, one of the big issues we've got with Michelle Moan, with Dido Harding and Track and Trace and, you know, PPE scandals and all the rest of it, is that the judiciary is part of the establishment. You know, Keir Starmer's out gaining it. Oh, Rishi Sunak doesn't care about paedophiles, when he was the guy in charge of, you know, public prosecutions, when a huge amount of these 4,500 paedophiles walked free. Like, you know, Sir Keir was there making those decisions and is now using it to beat somebody else about the head with, which was pretty fucking disgusting. But again, that's who the guy is. He's a disgusting liar, and he's going to just be replacing disgusting liars. So we shouldn't expect any different, you know what I mean? But the government and the justice system in the UK are like indelibly linked, you know what I mean? We see things like in Northern Ireland where British soldiers who are allowed to walk away for, you know, murder, you know, collusion and all the other things that happened there, because again, they were serving members of the British Army. The British Army is another arm of the British establishment, just the same as the justice system is. And there is that, those pathways and those interlinking sort of relationships and conversations that happen that keep people in and out of court, depending on what the government of the day ultimately thinks. Mm. Now, in America, what we're seeing is that individual prosecutors can go fuck that, because it's in the people's interest that we investigate this, and we investigate that. Exactly what you're talking about with Sturgeon, like that ferocity investigation, at least on the surface, it should be applied elsewhere. And I think we're actually starting to see that happen in America now that they've got their ducks in a row with Trump. Starting to get to a point where, are they going to have enough time to do it? I mean, he's not going to win the election. He's polling at like 25% outside his absolute cult. You know what I mean? So right, even if he runs, he is a 100% going to get beat. So he's not going to be able to get into the White House and pardon himself the way he was talking. It's all bullshit. But even today, he's like, you know, if I'm convicted, I'll still campaign. You know, like, dude, on your easy, on the smallest set of charges you're facing right now, the tariff is up to 130 fucking years in jail. The notion that you are going to run a political, he thinks that even if he's convicted, they're not going to jail him. Like, if these guys convict you, you are 100% going to fucking jail. Uh-huh. Like, it's not going to be for 130 something years. You know.
So what they try to get him on? Like, what's going on?
I've written.
What's he done? Like,
so the one that's been in the news the last week has been kind of promoted as like the paying off porn stars for sex. So we had an affair with a Playboy bunny 4 or 5 years before the election. He had then with Stormy Daniels a couple of years before the election as well. Said that he had paid them off to basically protect his wife Melania for the embarrassment, but actually paid both of them off like 6 weeks before the 2016 election, having had affairs with them years before. So
right,
they were also basically filtering this money through the Daily and the National Enquirer. See the newspaper that's like, aliens impregnated me. I was anal probed 14 times, yep. All that shit. So the dude that runs that is basically one of Donald Trump's best mates. Come up together through college and all these other things.
Doesn't surprise me.
And what he was saying was, to protect your campaign, when somebody comes and tries to sell their story, I will pay and I will hoover that story up so that no one else publishes it, and then I will not publish it. And it's basically what's called a catch and kill order, where they catch the story and then they kill it.
Right, okay.
He did that with the first one, the Lassie McDougall or McDonough or whatever her name is, and he paid out $150,000 to basically shut up this Playboy bunny ahead of the election. Donald Trump then never paid his mate back. Neither did. So when the second story about Stormy Daniels, never paid him back. When the second story about Stormy Daniels came out, this guy caught it again, but was like, I'm not putting $130,000 out here, you need to do it. So this is where the guy Cohen came in, basically billed Trump for legal fees, and then paid Stormy Daniels $130,000 to shut the fuck up. So because they were related to like managing his campaign more effectively, they're essentially illegal campaign contributions. So in New York, the law is, put your records in ring, that's a crime, but it's a misdemeanor. Put your records in ring, your financial records in ring, in furtherance to another crime like election tampering, it becomes a felony. So they've taken what would ordinarily be 30 or 40 counts of like misdemeanor, like bad accounting, which again, the Trump organization was convicted on 17 counts the previous year. You know, like literally his CFO, his chief financial officer, had to go to jail. And they're now actively trying to flip him on Trump because this guy covered for him.
Right, okay.
Went to jail.
Right.
70-year-old dude who's been the Trump's main financial officer for his entire career, basically took the bullet and went to jail. And obviously they're working on this guy constantly trying to say, look, man, we've got other charges against you. And like the 4 years that you're doing now is about to become 15 years if you don't flip. And the story is that this guy's now
waiting to
testify because he's 75 years old by the time he gets out.
So he'd be dead by the time.
It's a life sentence if he doesn't do it.
Wow.
So they've taken these like misdemeanors, framed them in the election because that's what they were there. They were there to, you know, basically like let them no take election hits in 2 weeks before the election.
Uh-huh.
And they've turned them into felonies. And as I say, if he's convicted on all counts, which I don't think is likely, because some of them have got questionable statute of limitations and stuff like that, where because of COVID, some of the statutes of limitations were extended by a couple hundred days.
Uh-huh.
So there's stuff that does fit in, stuff that doesn't, stuff that's stronger than others. So of the 34 counts, he is banky rights and some very technical elements. Is he going to do 134 years? No, he's no. Is he going to get convicted on all 34? Probably not. But we'll wait and see. He's definitely going down for something because he 100% was involved in
this
shit.
Do you think he'll go to jail? Do you actually think
he'll go to jail? I mean, there's no way that he doesn't. I mean, the one in Georgia that's coming is that on the days after the 2020 election, Georgia was close to, like, you know, very, very close.
And he asked for a recount there, didn't he?
Oh, he asked for all sorts. Uh-huh. It turns out it was like 12,000. It was just short of 12,000 votes, but let's call it 12,000 votes for the sake of conversation, right? He needed 12,000 votes to win the Georgia state and then potentially swing the election his way. He phoned up the guy who was the head of like the Republican Party in Georgia, who were in charge of the election at that point in time, and was like, you need to basically go find me 12,000 votes. Now, what Trump didn't realise was that Georgia is one of the very few states in America where you do not need the permission of both parties to record phone calls. And everybody that he spoke to in Georgia, trying to get him to swing the election his way illegally, recorded the calls.
For
so there's
sake.
Two in question. One who was the guy who was running the election in Georgia, and the other guy who was running like the Georgia State Congress, or Georgia State uh-huh. Senate. And he was basically on the phone to these guys going, find me 12,000 votes, or it will be very dangerous for you. And both of them have got it on record. Now, one of the guys has subsequently died. Just whatever. It wasn't even dodgy or anything. He just
right.
died.
Aye.
But the recording was already out there. So now, in Georgia, they have him on record actively threatening election officials to basically tamper with the end result of the election. So he is fucked, like, on election tampering. There's the Mar-a-Lago stuff with the stolen documents.
So
he was told, you know, you need to basically return all these documents at the end of your presidency. He was like, oh, no worries, sound. And then took like thousands of documents to Florida with him. The guys in charge of that went, hold on, you took the documents? And he was like, no, I didn't. And they're like, no, man, come on, you fucking did. And they were like, right, let me have a look. And he sent his lawyers to like check, quote unquote, and then sent them back saying, oh, do you know what, we found some, actually, here you go, and handed over, like, a tiny amount of what he had. And then made his lawyers sign, like, sworn legal affidavits to say, that's all we've got. And this other mob that are in charge of the records keeping were like, no, you don't. Like, we know you've got mayor. So they basically got a subpoena to go and search Mar-a-Lago and found all sorts of shit, like, highly top secret shit just lying about in flyers. He'd been told to put them in a cupboard and lock the cupboard. He hadn't done that. They then got him after the subpoena was about to drop on his own video cameras, getting into the boxes and working out what he wants to try and keep and what he wants to try and haunt back after they were like, come on, man. So they've got him banky rights on that as well. And then there's other stuff about January the 6th and the insurrection and all the rest, again, are all a wee bit mayor.
Wishy-washy.
Like, I mean, he clearly was like, go and take the capital, you know what I mean? Like, go and like take back democracy, you know what I mean? Like, it's what they're referring to as like stochastic terrorism. So they're actually like treating this guy in all his cases. It's all anonymous juries, it's all grand jury stuff, it's all behind closed doors. Like, the only people that get this treatment are terrorists and mob bosses. This is the way that the entire sort of judicial system is handling him right now. So, It's a matter of time. Now he's out threatening judges. He's doxing their wives on Truth Social. He's doxing their children, like talking about how their kids have worked for like the Biden-Harris campaign and all the rest of it. So he's literally out there every day actively trying to like terrorise the judges and the prosecutors that are in the process of bringing these cases against him.
Right, okay.
Up to the point where judges are like, we're going to put a gag order on you if you don't stop it. And he's like, I sound. And then he's 10 minutes later on fucking Truth Social.
He's not giving a fuck, is he?
You know what I mean? Like, so, aye. He's fucked. Like, it's a matter of time. So it's like, his only hope is to win the election and pardon himself. And that is not going to happen.
I mean, did you see him at the UFC? Which I found a bit like, whoa, what the fuck? I mean,
he's campaigning.
Pretty crazy.
That he's campaigning.
He's sitting next to Mike Tyson at the UFC, you know, giving it pure thumbs up. And I mean, where was the UFC? Dave, was it Poland? And I think that that's just a perception thing because I'm not really keeping up with like American politics, but the perception of it, I think, in a general sense, is that he's got a chat, like he's got some amount of support. So
I think 2016 has terrorized people to the point where, and keep in mind that he lost the 2016 election by 3 million votes. It was a pure fluke electoral college victory that got him over the line. So in total, he's lost both elections by a combined 10 million votes. You know what I mean?
Like, right. Uh-huh.
And, you know, he's now lost multiple elections since on the basis of candidates that he's put forward for various things. Like, the abortion issue in America has become so toxic, as has up until, you know, even recent days, like, gun violence is becoming, like, a real thing. You know, particularly in the Tennessee legislature, there was a mass shooting, two black congressman and a white woman who was also a congresswoman in the Tennessee state legislature joined a protest in the grounds of the sort of Congress, the local Congress, and were expelled. So that, you know, they took the two black guys and expelled them and didn't expel the white woman. And obviously people just went absolutely mental. And they've now had to reinstate these two guys, and they've, you know, got a massive wave of support behind them. But this was like protests happening inside the legislature, inside the building, where they were like, no, we're not moving until you pass gun legislation and like protect our children. And they're like, no, get the two black guys to fuck. And you're just like, what? It was some of the dumbest shit I've ever seen politically. But that's kind of where America is now, is that they're legislating against stuff that people don't want. So, and it's kind of like, it's like what's going on in the UK, they now own steroids. So it's like, it's where a lot of these guys like Braverman and that are getting their cues for. So if they just talk the right game, they can basically do whatever the fuck they want. And it's bullshit. And electorally, they're going to pay the price because, as I say, like the other day there in, I think it was Milwaukee or something, they swung the Supreme Court, the state Supreme Court, Democratic for the first time in 15 years. And it was because the woman who won the seat went out and campaigned on abortion rights. Like, they're like policy platform is so toxic that even without Trump, they're going to be lucky. I mean, the state and the Supreme Court justice was nominated in as gerrymandered to the point where at the last general election, the Democrats won something like 55% of the votes, and it resulted in less than 33% of the seats. You know what I mean? Like, so they actually won the popular vote in that state by like 20 points, but actually got like 30% representation off the bracket.
Okay.
So, I mean, even in these heavily, heavily gerrymandered systems, people are going to enforce. And it's students. See, the young people, like, they've started registering like election polling booths in universities, and the turnout in these universities is hitting like 85, 90%. Like, queues of students odd in the street and up the block, wanting to vote these cunts out, armed in the country. And that's before Trump. You know what I mean? And he is bleeding. Every time something else comes out, he bleeds 2%, 3%, 5%. You know what I mean? Like, to the point where he's now 25% approval rating. And that's like George Bush at the end of the Iraq war numbers.
Right.
When Obama took
over. Obama, uh-huh, right.
You know what I mean? Like, so this is like the worst presidential ratings in history, and he's already got them out of office. You know what
aye.
I mean? Like,
it's kind of, I mean, the parallels between here and there with the Tories and the Republicans are there's kind of the same, isn't it?
Aye, because like, Republicans are burning everything down on the way out the door, and that's exactly what the Tories are doing here. Look at that fucking Theresa Coffin nutter the other day there, out, two thumbs up outside an estuary. You can swim in this, and you're like, no comments, nothing, no journalists, Twitter post, no comments, there was no right to reply to it whatsoever. It's all just so stage managed. And then at the same time, while she's out there getting it two thumbs up, while the rest of England swims in literal shit, like, the water companies are paying out fucking bonuses for, like, environmental protection to their directors. Like, millions and millions of pounds of fucking bonuses this week to the guys running the water companies, while people in England literally can't go and, like, paddle in the beach without fucking swimming and shit. You know what I mean? Like, so, aye, there is a very, like, close parallel. Like, one, the two of them are absolutely rife with fascist ideology, like, that they can just bully and manipulate and culture war their way out of this. They're going to...
Well, Trump's already come out and said that he would make it illegal to be trans if they're trying...
Yep.
Well, I actually think that that's a very, very sort of nice way of saying what he said. Did they not say that he would aim to wipe them off the face of the planet?
I mean, I would not be surprised. That's exactly what his base want to hear. So it is, and it's exactly what the nutters that are feeding off the American money here want to hear as well. Because a lot of the culture war bullshit that comes through, or the direction of trans people in the UK, comes off of American evangelical money. You know what I mean? Like, and they're using money to spread bullshit. And I think you see it as well in a lot of the politicians that, you know, people that are all of a sudden like finding, you know, religious beliefs and stuff like that, you know. People, I found it interesting the other day, was it Easter Sunday? And like, it was just a parade of just the most horrible bastards, the most unchristian cunts you've ever come across in your life, you know, all that. Jacob Rees-Mogg, he is risen. Yeah, I would fucking hate you. Like, you know what I mean? Like, fucking, it's easier for whatever, you know, somebody to shoot a camel through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to go to heaven. And there's Jacob Rees-Mogg, like, he is risen. And you're like, you are literally the fucking Antichrist. Like, come on, man. Like,
how much do you think that these people actually have these beliefs? Or are they
none
just...
at all.
Do you think it's just show? Just
it's all show, aye, because... And this is why I've been watching these guys recently, who I quite like on some of the American stuff. It's called the Midas Network. Main dude's called Ben Mycelis or whatever his name is. And they call this stuff out. It's like, see the Tories... See the Republicans in America, the people that want to talk to you about how they share the same faith with you, how they share the same ideology, they think you are a fucking idiot. Like, they don't believe a fucking word they say. They never have, they never will, but they know that you do. And they are hoping that by talking the right type of bullshit to you, you will put up with their bullshit long enough for them to get back in. And that's what's always been. It's been the same with the evangelicals who grift on TV all the way through to the fucking... nutters who copy it nowadays, you know, the gurus and the self-help type stuff. It's all this, you know, they're talking to you like they care, but they don't care. They're talking to you because they think that you are a fucking idiot and that they can make money off of you, that they can gain power off of you, that they can gain wealth or prestige off of you. It's no because they share your beliefs and it never has been. You know what I mean? Like, well, that's what I think anyway.
Well, I mean, that's what I come back to, I think. I mean, how could you... How could you be, believe in proper Christianity the way that they tell you, but go about the way that they go about things, like, other than they genuinely, I don't know, man. I'm almost going backwards and forwards in my head, because I think to actually, like, fucking, like, you know, fire and brimstone, you need to be a bit fucking deluded. Do you know what I mean?
Personally, if you're, like, a fire and brimstone Christian who believes... the literal word of God, or any religion for that matter, like, Christianity is an easy one for us because we have experienced it. We were brought up in Christian churches, you know what I mean? Like, but for me, for somebody to be fire and brimstone, any religion does require, and they say, oh, it's faith, but it's no, it's self-delusion for me. And we talked about this the other week with Kate Forbes, like, they're parables, they're morality tales that are meant to influence people as they grow up and act as aids for parents and teachers to, you know, teach morality. It's exactly the same as, like, basing your entire being on the Grimm fairy tales. Because the Grimm fairy tales, what are they? They're morality tales that talk to you about, why it's ranked to steal and why it's ranked to murder or whatever it is, you know, kill children. These, you know, Hansel and Gretel and Red Riding Hood, and they're morality tales that were intended to, you know, scare you, yep, the same way Talk of Hell scares you, but also to, you know, teach you via parable that here is the right decision that you should make.
Guide your behavior.
You know what I mean? Like, and I don't see anybody out there starting wars or fucking the Brothers Grimm. You know what I mean? Like, but for me, there is literally no difference in the two.
Mm-hmm.
No, there is.
Agreed. With the shift in the sort of like, you're talking like the younger generation of people, what would it be, Gen Z?
I don't even know anymore. We've been millennials and Gen Zs and boomers and I've lost track.
Gen Z's after us, and then like we're millennials or just about millennial, aren't we? And then it goes like Gen Z.
You're definitely more of a millennial than us. I think me and Matt fall into the geriatric.
I'm a geriatric.
Right. So, okay.
And then it turns into Gen Z. Then it goes to something else like what is it after that? There's a. Gen X.
Generation.
But yeah.
Generation Gen X. X, Y, Z. No, Gen X is long gone, I think.
I've honestly no idea. But these young people, either way, are genuinely the future. You know what I mean?
Well, like, this is what I was going to say. Like, do you feel like. So there's Gen Z, which. So we'll clear it up, right? Millennials are 81 to 96.
So I'm a millennial then, unfortunately.
Uh-huh. And then,
no, see where I fought in that range.
Unfortunately,
but pretty low in that range.
Yeah, just about. And then Gen Z's or Z or whatever way you want to fucking say it, 97 to 2012, and now we're on Generation Alpha, which is 2013 to 2020.
Alpha. Generation, so we went back running on ourselves. Is that what's happening?
Uh-huh.
Is it because we're all alpha males now?
It's like
I was about to say. Was it Andrew Tate that named that?
Uh-huh. You know something interesting about that I've stumbled across recently was that, see the guy who did the study that led to the term alpha, as in the alpha wolf of the pack,
uh-huh.
He coined that term after the basis of one study on one wolf pack and was never able to repeat it ever again in his entire career.
I've heard this.
And came to the conclusion that basically what he had seen was the parent of the particular pack that he was watching at that time. So the guy who coined the term alpha male or alpha anything actually says that the terminology is completely bullshit. Doesn't exist.
I've seen this recently. And it's essentially in a pack, there is no alpha.
There's a
number of adults, basically, like, and it can be male, female.
Yep.
It doesn't absolutely, they work together as a...
This is what I love about all of that shit is, like, basically everything... And, there's a whole load of like authors and intellectuals and they want to talk about like, oh, look at nature. And you're like, but nature's, I mean, if you want to talk about like pack animals, like they're communes, they're communists. Like yeah, they rely on each other for fuck's sake.
I think it's Locke that says there's one of the early sort of political philosophies was something like the state of nature, it's called. And it's that nature does not require democracy. Nature does not require committee. Nature does not require debate, whatever it is, people or animals within a natural state or the state of nature naturally just coalesce around what is in their own best interests because that is what is in their best interest to do.
Survival.
You know what I mean? And,
but I think there are obviously animal groups that do have alpha, like males that are like the only male that's allowed to mate with the rest of the herd or the pack or whatever it is. So the rest must still be a
You've got to imagine that there is other examples, but that's quite funny.
There's other examples of like the female that will be the head of a pack and stuff.
Yeah,
like
that, that's it. I mean, it's just so funny, like thinking about all these dudes that share the line meme, with like just like some sort of quote for Peaky Blinders underneath it. Do you know what I mean? Like that. All these dudes are just pure sharing absolute fucking horse shit. But you were saying like younger generations of people, maybe like. Hopefully the culture war's not going to be as influential in their thinking.
I think it's already starting to lose its shine with a lot of people. Like, especially when you look at what's happening in America, people are fucking sick of it. Like, they're sick of hearing about why they can't do gun control because this person's a dick, or they can't do, you know, abortion because God or whatever the fuck, you know what I mean? Like, people are fed up with it. People are, and I think this is something that we need to be doing, Mary, is like calling this shit out and actually being a wee bit less sort of mealy-mouthed about it. I've been quite inspired by some of the American guys, particularly the guys on like the Midas Network and stuff like that. They're just going out there and being like, fuck the pleasantries that we normally have. And I know our language is often colourful, but I know that we also do sometimes kind of allow some of that base sides bullshit. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. And a lot of what I'm seeing in the news is for people, like, the stuff that I'm really like, pure, oh man, these guys have got it, is for folk that are like, fuck both sides. Like, there is no balance when it comes to fascism. There is no balance when it comes to discrimination. Like, when Jeanette was in for Call It Out, mm-hmm. she was like, they talk about, why don't you sit down with the Orange Order? And you're like, well, you're not asking black people to sit down with the KKK, because there is no balance in racism. Why should there be balance in religious sectarianism? Why should there be balance in fascism or, you know, misinformation or any of these other things that we know are damaging, that we know are actively being used as tactics against us? Would they be lose by saying, fuck the pleasantries, and be like, no, that is bullshit. Uh-huh. And I'm like, do you know what? I want some more of that. So I want us to, and maybe this is, I've come in quite hot today, as folk will probably be able to tell listening to this, like, but it's first time in ages I've come in and like felt a bit empowered again, like a bit like we've got a responsibility again. We've, I think, bounced about for Pillar to Post a wee bit, and like these guys don't have guests, these guys don't have strict formats, they have subjects that come up and they get into it, and they just are honest about what they think about it, and they're no leaving space for other people's feelings and those assessments. And I'm like, I want some of that, man. So they, because I don't think we've done enough yet. I don't think any has done enough yet.
Yeah, like any of the sort of podcast community, is that even a fucking thing?
Too busy trying not to offend people. Like, can somebody listen to us anyway? Who the fuck cares if they offend anybody?
If you've got a niche audience of people that
maybe
like,
maybe more
what
people
saying.
Will listen to us because they're like, listen to these fucking guys. You know what I mean? Like,
aye, absolutely. I mean, the like to go back to what you were talking about, you touched on it earlier, and I think it's something that I would like to talk about is that the Labour Party seem to be taking a more populist stance.
Oh my God.
Like the last 2 or 3 weeks, it's been like, what the fuck is going on?
Yeah.
I mean, they look like, I don't think there is anything that they could say or do that would stop them from winning like a UK no. election at this point. But why are they, like you said, the tweet, I mean, Twitter are having to like fucking basically like, almost fact-checked. I fact-checked the Labour Party.
Fact-checked half a fucking then, Elon Musk. That's how bad you were.
Starmer himself is
he doubled down on it,
and he's made a. There's been another. I think there was a comment about. I think there was like a sort of veiled sort of dig at sort of the trans community or like try to get in on this. Like
a guy that marched in, at the front of Pride with Angela Rayner, who's now telling you now is not the time for trans rights. You're like, fuck you, guy.
I mean, I think like, you know, opinions aside, I think people know what we think about like human rights and the rights of trans people and
aye.
But why the fuck is the Labour Party making this slide? I don't get it. It's like you are a shoo-in to be elected. You don't, you know, like, I think we've also said in the past, play them at their own fucking game. Come out and say shit and then get your foot in the door and then just go, fuck you, we're not doing it.
I don't think that's what's happening.
I don't think that's what's happening either. It just feels like...
I think so many traditional Labour voters, particularly in the north, like the Red Wall type sort of areas, were moved by Brexit and the racism, the inert racism that Brexit was based on. That it's kind of shook the Labour Party to its core a bit, because I think now doing the maths, Starmer's going, well, we can take the 3 million extra people that voted for us under Corbyn and still lose to basically racist, openly racist policies, and we can keep banging our head off the door here, or we can say to those 3 million people who didn't win us the election, bye, fuck off, and concentrate on mopping up the racists, because they're fed up with Tories messing with their wage packets. They're fed up with Tories, you know, messing with the cost of living and all these other things, and focusing on the sort of right and centre-right of the UK political spectrum, because that is what wins elections, because that is what has kept the Tories in power for 12 years. And, the notion that they're going to come in and then put forward a socialist agenda is a fucking nonsense. Like,
I like this absolutely guy, no chance that's fucking
this guy has taken every inch that the Labour Party has given him and taken a mile looking at the expulsion of guys like Corbyn after stoning next to him as, you know, we're best mates and campaigning together. Now all of a sudden, the guy who has represented the Labour Party for 40 years and been on the right side of history for every major political development in this country for the last 40 years and telling him that he's no longer able to stand as a Labour candidate. Like, fair enough, don't like the guy, fair enough. Like, limit his ability to influence the party if that's what you do when you win. Like, obviously that's politics, but like, to say that this guy is now no longer fit to represent the Labour Party shows you the levels and the depths at which they're willing to go. And like, Rachel Reeves, she's a fucking boot. She's a mad fucking racist cow. And she's out there, well, I don't know about, can I say Rwanda's wrong? Can I say it's right for refugees? Can I say we should be standing with striking workers? Even though all up and down the country, including junior doctors this week, strikes have time and time and time again, even in the last year to 18 months, got results. Like, the railways have capitulated. The
NHS in Scotland have accepted.
Up and down the country, strikes have worked. Yet we've still got fucking assholes on Sky News, on GB News and all that this week going, well, I don't think that striking is the answer. And you're like, fuck you, because you're already getting paid. You're getting paid to come on here and tell people what they should and shouldn't want.
Mm-hmm.
Get them to vote against their own self-interest when the evidence is overwhelmingly to the contrary. Like, every bit of strike action and industrial action in the UK in the last whatever year to 18 months has almost universally resulted in better paying conditions for the people who were striking. So that even now, in the face of that evidence, people can sit on national television and piss on your leg and try and tell you that it's raining is fucking ridiculous. And I think that's what we're going to see for this Labour Party when they get in, because they have decided to mop up scunnered Tory voters. And the only way to do that is to imitate the Tory party. And it'll be the only way to keep them as well.
Do they run the risk, though, of the Tory, like, trying, not being Tory enough? Like, because, you know,
eventually,
like, the Tories, what, last week, brung in this fucking grooming gang pish, and, you know, you've seen Twitter just being, like, overwhelmingly, it is British white men that are.
Like, 30 of them were convicted days later.
It's fucking crazy. It's crazy. Like, you know, they.
But then the Labour Party's putting memes out about Sunak being a fucking groomer.
Literally, like, days after this sort of, like.
They're riffing off each other.
Uh huh. Do they run the risk of them, like, alienating, like you're saying, that the people in the country that voted for. I mean, they've already alienated the people in the country that voted for Corbyn, but you know what I'm meaning? Like, if they get into this game.
The only way is a race to the bottom.
Race to the bottom. But what happens if the Tories just go, well, we'll just keep going further down?
So what will happen now is what the Tories did under Cameron. So Blair took the Labour Party of John Smith and smooshed it together with Thatcherite ideology and, you know, US presidential politics, and created a monster that won elections for 17 years in a row. Now, people naturally get fed up and scunnered. You know what I mean? It's just natural that over the course of a 3 or 4 term, like, all governments are going to lose popularity, all governments are going to have scandals. But what Cameron did with the Tories was make them look like the nice, shiny, we're business friendly, we're Europe friendly, we're this friendly, we're that friendly. And then when they came in, boom, austerity. You know what I mean? Like, they went straight to fuck everybody the minute they get in the door. But they played the game that Labour were playing in terms of the electorate. And what they did was, you're only being hard enough on crime, you're only being hard enough on this. We'd seen unparalleled prosperity in the UK in terms of low debt, high, you know, income, terms, conditions. All these things were quite favourable at that point in time. And ever since Cameron got in, being Tony Blair White, all we've seen is a downward slide. To the point where now Starmer has to go out there and do his impersonation of Cameron Light to get in. And now the only way for him is down. And then again, we'll get to a point where somebody will come through the ranks, or maybe they'll get desperate and go back to somebody like Johnson, which I'm sure he's hoping for. And they'll do the, right, well, yes, we're tough on crime, we're tough on immigrants, we're tough on boats. And then when they get in, it'll just be another fucking bonfire of people's rights. You know what I mean? Like, because this is now the pattern that they have to follow to get in and to stay in and to maintain these horrible bastards that they're actually trying to appeal to, they have to be horrible bastards.
Mm.
You know what I mean?
Like, I genuinely don't know. I mean, when's the next election? 2020?
They're saying Sunak wants to call one next winter.
Right, so winter of 2024. When would the next actual one, like if he didn't call it?
I think it would probably be like the May or something after in 2025.
Right, okay, 2025, okay. Mm-hmm. Why date in winter? Is that to stop people going out and voting?
Well, like, they've already changed the voting rules in England, where you now need government mandated, in the upcoming council elections at the start of May, you now need government issued identification to vote. So if you don't have a passport or a driving license, you need to apply for a free ID card, the type of ID card that we've been pushing back. Aye, of course they have, because they don't want people to come to the voting booths with ID so that they can depress the vote. Exactly the same as having general elections in the dead of winter, because they want to depress the vote as much as possible. Like, as much as Labour have the biggest open goal in British political history, look at the polling at the weekend there between Starmer and Sunak. You couldn't have put a fiver between them. Like, in terms of their personal perception, Starmer's personal perception is no really any better than Sunak's right now.
Fuck's sake, man. So they're going to end up losing this, aren't they?
I mean, that's certainly what they're hoping for. This is with now voter ID laws and a winter election and 18 months of talking about migrants and boats and all these other things that these fucking racist fucks all want to hear to vote for them. It's anybody's game. It shouldn't be the biggest open goal in history. But I think it's going to get a lot closer.
Another big problem is that would the UK Labour Party actually stand for anymore?
Nothing.
Would the Tories even? Do you know what I mean?
The Tories have never stood for anything.
Aye, but I just don't know. Like you're talking about like identity and under Corbyn, it had an identity. You know, like it or hate it, whatever way. You know, I personally thought that what the guy was planning on doing was fucking brilliant, but. Yep. They lack any sort of form of identity, and that just worries me. Do you know what I mean?
None of these guys are talking about policy. They're not in the press going, here's how we're going to win the election with this great policy idea. Here's how we're going to win the election because that other guy's a fucking cunt, or that guy's no racist enough, or that guy's no whatever enough, or they support trial, whatever it is. It's not about policy. It's not about, none of them are standing up and being like, here is how I am going to make the UK a better place to live. Here is how I am going to make the UK more attractive to businesses, more attractive to, you know, trade. They're saying, vote for me because fuck this guy. And that's all they're ever going to say for no one, I think.
Kind of depressing.
It is.
It's very depressing. But it's also not a new thing that, it doesn't matter who you vote for, you're getting the same shit at the end of the day. And that's why Corbyn was strung up and booted out, because he was the only one that was actual change.
Yeah.
And terrified the establishment. So
absolutely.
Let's get rid. And that was, it's just the same. That's why Trump's terrifying over in America, like, because he actually did get in and he wasn't the politician that's gone through the being a lawyer, doing this, the journey that you take to become a president. Like, so it's
now we're seeing the effects of that as he's about to do the rest of his life in federal prison. But it definitely did not fit that mold. It might have been slightly better for him if he did, to be honest with you. But as I say, he has always thought of himself as a mob boss, and that is how he's behaved and that is how he's been treated.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. But it's just like, well, if we vote for Labour, what's going to change? You know what I mean? And like,
it doesn't look like anything at the moment, and it's all the mere reason for Scottish independence. But how we get there at this point, I don't know. Like, as I say, Humza Yousaf seems to think that, you know, we can get back on that sort of campaign trail. I'm all for ideas. I'm all for hearing it, but it needs to actually be like real. It can't just be vote for us at another election and get a mandate. Like, they've told you time and again to stick your mandate up your arse. Well, it's not going to work. So we need.
It's the last Scottish election, no? Then the mandate.
The last fucking five or something. You know what I mean? Let's get the mandate. And fair enough, you do want to send a message. You do want a strong, clear message that the Scottish people want a chance to make their own decisions about making their own decisions. But if both sides are saying fuck you, no, then we need like a more than ever. It is more important than ever that we get unchained for this maniac England. So it is, like, and that's no harm to like English people. Like, their political system has been absolutely fucking tonto off the rails and does not serve anybody but the 650 fucking idiots and morons and thieves that are sitting there. You know what I mean? Like, they're all in the gravy train. They're all comfortably just, you know, living off of our backs and making decisions that make our lives more hard, more difficult, less, you know, livable. So Scotland needs out, like, years ago it needs out, you know what I mean? Like, but we bottled it because Gordon Brown, you know what I mean? But aye, if they can come with something cohesive that gets an actual, like, legitimate legal chance, let's just fucking do it already. Let's go, because aye, I think the only way we get genuine optimism back in our politics is getting the fuck out of the UK.
Fair enough. Well, that's us past the hour, I think, anyway, Dave. What we at?
Yep, just at the hour.
I'm sorry, I've been ranty as fuck.
No, man. That's all right. That's all right. I didn't get a chance to watch either of the two things that we watched.
We were going to do a new segment called Content Club, where the first rule of Content Club is you always talk about Content Club. We were going to do everything everywhere all at once, mm-hmm. which I did watch. And I know, Shep, you've seen it as well, eh? But we'll maybe park that until...
I'll catch it for the weekend then.
Because that is fucking phenomenal.
I'll catch it for the weekend. Right. I don't know what, during this sort of COVID thing, I needed comfort. So I was like revisiting shit that I've watched about a million times. I just was like, I was sitting looking at Cobra Kai.
Cobra Kai is like the best comfort show ever.
Cobra Kai.
I've
not got to it yet.
I watched season one. And
so good.
It was good, but I can't remember why I didn't go back to season two. I think it was just one of the things that I find sometimes you watch a season or something and you're like, that was fucking amazing. And then season two comes out and you just sort of hover at it, like, oh, I'll watch it next.
It's too much. If you sat there watching the whole thing, because it's very like, it takes me back to like 90s American TV shows, like kids shows. They all have like pure morals in them and all this kind of thing.
Aye.
But for me, it's just
the pure trans He-Man at the end of it was pure.
Yeah, it's just
here's the moral of the story by He-Man.
Like, it's just having all the old characters is fucking ace.
Mm-hmm. I remember watching Thundercats came out in DVD.
That was one that was always had like a wee bit at the end, and it was like, here are some morals for you.
And you're like, what the fuck? Where did that come from?
G.I. Joe did it as well. I'm not sure about the Turtles, but there was definitely a few of them. Maybe we could turn that into a religion. You know what I mean? your moral Morale. Parables via the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Carlton Morale.
I'll
watch at least one of the two that we had said, and we'll pick up at the weekend for next week's episode.
Aye. We'll definitely get back on the weekly hangout, and hopefully in this time next week, I'll be less ranty.
I liked it, mate. I liked the angle.
Punch something. Just...